Well, we just celebrated communion in remembrance of the Lord Jesus and all that he has accomplished for us. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. In the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, we have the three genealogies of the Lord Jesus. In Luke 3, Matthew concludes by saying in the genealogy, son of Seth, son of Abraham, son of God. In Matthew, in his genealogy, he says, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, if you and I know Jesus, we've been born again. And so we are part of that genealogy, so that we relate to Adam racially, to Abraham redemptively, and to David royally. And it's all because of Jesus. But if you're one of the folks here who doesn't know Jesus, then you can, can't you? Today, we'd love to pray and talk with you so that you'll be able to say, I'm related racially through Adam, redemptively through Abraham, royally through David. David, hero of faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients, like David, were commended for. The Hebrew writer continues later on. He says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Now, my first hearing of David, and those of you who know my story, forgive. I first got to know of King David through Uncle Reg. Uncle Reg was the baker. He used to come round the roads in those days, didn't they? The baker in his van. And Uncle Reg knew and loved Jesus. And I was 4 years old. And Uncle Reg used to pick me up, sit me on a little saddle on his crossbar, and cycle to Sunday school with me every week. Now, there wasn't so much traffic in those days. And so as we're going along, he's teaching me a song. I doubt if I can sing it now, but I remember the words. Good David, whose psalms have so often been sung, at first was not noble or grand, though only a shepherd boy when he was young. But afterwards, king of the land. Of course, those sort of things in those days, the old memory keeps those. It's the things that my wife tells me I can't remember, but I can remember that. Good David. It's taken me a week just to read all the scriptures relating to David in Chronicles, in Samuel, in the Book of Kings, looking through the Psalms, the mentions of Jesus mentions him and the others, writers in the New Testament. So this morning, a quick look at David. And you probably know the story as well as I do if you went to Sunday school. But I just pray today, as we look at this story that's so familiar, that the Holy Spirit will just ignite us with what we need to be challenged by as we think of this man of faith, David. The story starts, of course, in the reign of King Saul. The people wanted a king to reign over them. They knew God was sovereign, but they wanted a king. And who did they choose? They chose a man who was head and shoulders taller than everyone else in the land. And his name was Saul. But for various reasons, God decided that he'd blown it and he wanted to appoint somebody else. Let me just read you from 1 Samuel 16 about the anointing of King David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice." Jesse is David's dad. "Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, that was the eldest of the sons of Jesse. He saw Eliab and he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called in Abinadab and made him pass in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then made Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "No, the Lord has not chosen this one." Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord hasn't chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all your sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. We see that the Lord doesn't look on the things that man looks at, but looks on the heart. And the wonderful thing is, from the day that the Lord, he was chosen, we read the Spirit of the Lord came upon him with power. That's what we want, isn't it? Holy Spirit to be in us with power. It was soon after that that Saul started getting very, very bad moods. He started getting an evil spirit come upon him. As it were, the Spirit of God departed and allowed an evil spirit to come upon him. And his courtiers were saying, how can we help King Saul? And one of them said, well, do you know Jesse of Bethlehem? Yes. Well, one of his sons is ever so good on the harp, you know. Really? Who's that? It's a young lad. His name's David. And young David, out there with the sheep. Sometime he's practicing with his sling until he hits it every time. You know, not the sheep, but the target he's going for. And then other times in the cool of the day, he's sitting under the tree and he's playing his harp. And I guess he's worshipping at the same time. A gifted young lad. And so they said, get him. And so every time the evil spirit came upon Saul, a messenger would go and get David. And David would come, play the harp, probably sing a psalm that he made up. And Saul would be quietened, and the evil spirit would leave him. The spirit in David and his gifting God uses. Well, it was just after this that the Philistines once again came against the people of Israel. I thought this story and the pictures were very good for the children. All right? We're all children here, aren't we? This is a well-known story. David and Goliath. Yep, I've got to point it up. Oh, I can look up there, can't I? Is that the one?
Press down.
Press that one?
Down.
Oh, I was pressing up. Yeah. Here he is. Saul was head and shoulders of everybody else. But then, from Philistine came Goliath. And he was head and shoulders even above Saul. He was a giant over 9 feet tall. And he with the Philistines,
yeah,
come on then, come and get us, you know. Well, where was the battle taking place? It was taking place in the valley of Elah, which was just near Gath, which was where the Philistines came from. Bethlehem, you can see, is just where Jesse and David and family came from. Goliath, he speaks to the other soldiers and he says, what should be our plan of action against the Israelites? And they said, well, Goliath, challenge them to find their challenger to come against you. And whoever wins, that's the battle. Good idea, he says. Good idea. So the next day, morning and evening, ahoy there! He shouts out. And he puts the challenge, find your champion to come against me. And the one who wins, the battle is theirs. Well, all this time, David's away in Bethlehem looking after the sheep. His three brothers are with the army, but he's at home looking after the sheep, practicing with his sling, playing his harp, and watching and caring for the sheep. No doubt he knew them by name. There he is, playing his harp. Meanwhile, Goliath is roaring out his challenge day after day after day. And the scriptures record, you know it, but the scriptures record, Saul and all Israel were scared stiff, full of fear. So about the 39th to 40th day after all this has been going on, Jesse says, David, I want you to go and see how your brothers are getting on. I've loaded up the donkey. There is some roasted grain and 10 loaves of bread. I want you to take it to your brothers. Oh, and by the way, there are also 10 cheeses. That's for their captain of their battalion or whatever it was called. So you go off, lad, see how they're getting on, and bring me word of how all things are going. So off he goes. He gets on the 40th day, just as, you guessed it, ahoy there! Who's going to come and challenge me? David says to his brothers, what's going on? What's all this? Why isn't anybody answering? And his brother said, you be quiet. It's nothing to do with you. Sling your hook or whatever. He didn't say that because that's what he was going to do, wasn't it? No. Go off home and look after the sheep. Tell Dad we're all right. Go on. Nothing to do with you. But David wanted to know more. And so he asked other people, is anybody not going to go against this? I'll face him. Well, somebody grabbed David and took him to King Saul. And David said, sir, I am prepared to fight Goliath. But you're a lad, you're a boy. sir, sire, or whatever they said to King Saul. You know the story. He says, sir, I look after the sheep for my dad. And you know, a lion has come and grabbed a sheep, and a bear has come and grabbed a sheep. And I have used my sling, and I have killed the lion and the bear. Because God was with me. And sire, if God's with me there, he's with me here. He will lead me to kill Goliath. Where nobody else was prepared to. Or young boy, lad, about 14. And according to he was about 14. Just a lad. Okay, put my uniform on him. So they put his armor on and the helmet, and it rattled around, and the sword was too big. And sire, this is no good for me. You know the story, don't you? No good for me. Sire, I'll go with what I know. I'll go with my staff, and I'll go with my sling. Go then, said King Saul, and the Lord bless you. Goliath looks at this boy who's coming towards him. Am I a dog, he says? You're coming to me with a stick? I'll give your bones to the birds of the air and to the animals and the beasts. Nearby. I'll kill you. David, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. But I am coming to you in the name of the Lord. He is with me. He will enable me to kill you. Come by. And he goes towards. Five from the brook on his way there. And he picked up this stone. He put it in his. There. And it hit him right there, right there. You know the story. Him, knocked him to the ground. Rather gruesome, but he took Goliath's own sword and cut off his head. Philistines, but their champion was. And they said, what's happened? But ran towards them cheering were the Israelites. And suddenly they realized they'd better get out of it, the Philistines, or so we're going to get caught by the Israelites. And off they ran, and in came the Israelites. And they championed David. And David was taken back and thanked by everyone. A bit later on, there was a march. And here is David on his march, praising God for what has happened. And King Saul was so great, he said, you're not sheep. You're going to be one of my armor bearers. And I'm promoting you, and I'm 1,000 men under your command. And so that's the story of David and Goliath. How do I switch that off? That one? That's it. That's it. You knew that story. Yeah. Why did he win? because God was with him. But just you think, only 14, the sheep. He hasn't been to tech college. He hasn't been to the university in Jerusalem. But he's used his time wisely. He was gifted with playing the harp. But most of all, as he kept saying to everyone, to King Paul, because God, the Lord, Jehovah, is with me. He knew where his strength lay. Here was a gifted, fearless young lad who trusted God and gave him the credit for all of his victories. It was at that time Saul's son Jonathan became a bosom pal of David. And he recognized in David quite what, but he knew David was something special. And he gave David his cloak. He gave David his belt and his sword and his tunic and his bow. And from that time on, the Bible tells us that they were one in spirit for life. And they made a covenant together. A covenant of friendship. And David made a covenant that he would honor the family of King Saul. But it was just at this time, of course, the women were singing there, and Saul heard about it. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. When Saul heard that, he was so angry. And so the next time that David was there, and they called him in to try and soothe King Saul and the evil spirit that was upon him, while David is playing, suddenly he had to take a dive. Because Saul threw the spear at David because he wanted to kill him. He was jealous of him. Jonathan, on the other hand, wanted to defend his friend. Son, said Saul, don't you realize the way this man's going? He's going to be king. You're never going to be king after me. We've got to get rid of him. But we know the story. That Jonathan's friendship with David, he did everything that he could to protect his friend. But it got so bad that David had to take flight. It wasn't with El Al or anything like that. He had to get away. And he went off to, when other people heard that he'd gone, it wasn't before long, David had 400 men. Bit of riffraff among them, but they all came up with David. And David made those 400 men into an army. But they all went and in flight, and years were spent in flight because Saul and his army were against David, and they chased them. And they went firstly to Nod. That's a place, not to sleep, right? They went to Nod. Then they went to, where do they go to next? They went to Gath. Then they went to the cave of Adullam. Then they went to Keilah. Then they went to desert strongholds and finally to the land of the Philistines, being chased by the king and his army. But there is two accounts of while being chased by Saul, David was able to get to Saul. The first one was at Engedi, cave at Engedi. That's beside the Dead Sea. Jean and I have had the privilege of going there and seeing the cave. We didn't go in. Saul went in there because he was desperate and he needed somewhere to go to the loo. So he goes into the cave, but not knowing, right at the back of the cave, it must have been quite deep, at the back of the cave was David and his men. "Shh," said David. Go and kill him." "No," said David. And you know the story. He creeps up. Saul had taken off his robe. He crept up and he cut off the corner of the robe. And then when Saul had finished his ablutions and went out, David went out after him and said, "Sire," and held up the corner of the robe. Said, "Sire, I could have killed you, sire, but I would not kill the Lord's anointed." It says King Saul wept and said, "David, I'm so sorry. Forgive me." And he took his soldiers back and left David. But it wasn't long before the old enemy and the hatred stirred up again, and he was out again against David and his men. This time, if you remember the story, it's night time. And David gets one of his soldiers, Abishai, to come with him. And they creep over in the dead of night to the camp of the Israelites. King Saul is asleep. He's stuck his spear into the ground next to him. His armor bearer's next to him and a jar of water. And they are out like a light, fast asleep, and all the soldiers. And they climb over them. And it says God had put a sleep upon them. So God was with him there. They get over there. And Abishai says, "Sir, David, I can destroy you." What does David say? "No, we do not kill the Lord's anointed. I will not do that. Just bring his spear and the jug of water." And off they go. And they get up to the top of the valley, up the hill. And David turns around and says, "Abner!" Abner was the commander of the Israelite army. You can imagine him stirring. "Who do you think you are, Abner? Supposed to be looking after your king. We've got his spear here. And his water jug." Saul gets up and again is in tears. And off they go again. But he says this, David, I realize that you are a mighty man and that God is going to do mighty things through you. And off he went home. Such are the stories which are familiar to us. But we see in David, a man of integrity, a man of honor. And then, it was soon after that, that news came to David that King Saul and his sons, including Jonathan, had been killed. The sons were killed. Saul was badly injured by an arrow from the enemy. And he turned to his armor bearer and he said,
finish me off. Come on, finish me off. And his armor bearer said, Sire, I can't do that. And so what did Saul do? He fell on his own sword. News got back to David, and it says that David and his men, they wept. And they mourned. And they rent their garments. And they fasted as a thought of the king. Even though he's been the man who'd been after killing them, they recognized he had been God's anointed. And they wept that they'd lost a king. And David had lost also a great friend. David didn't immediately become king. He said, Lord, is this the time? He waited on the Lord. Lord, is this the time for me to become king? And the Lord said, yes, go to Hebron. And he went to Hebron. And there at Hebron, the tribe of Judah made him king. And he was king initially just over the tribe of Judah for 7.5 years. And then, after 7.5 years, all of Israel came to Hebron and said, David, we recognize you as king. And he became king over the whole of Israel and Judah. And he reigned for 40 years. And they reckon, I say whoever they are, but they reckon they were the golden years. Even today it's spoken of as the golden years under the rule of King David. Remember, he's only looked after sheep, but he's gifted in playing the guitar. He's never been to university. And yet we see how God is upon him and he raises him up to be king. Some of his accomplishments, you know them, but let me remind you. Firstly, he conquered Jerusalem. I don't know why they still argue over it today, but they do, don't they? But 1,000 years BC, Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, called the City of David. He conquered all the nations around, so that in 2 Samuel 8, it says this, the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. God was with him. And then there's his involvement in Israel's worship. He brought the Ark, the covenant, that which was so precious to the worship of the people of Israel. He brought that back to Jerusalem and had a tent specially made for the Ark of the Covenant. He was concerned for the worship of the people to their God. He also was concerned with the temple. He made all the plans up. He knew what he was going to make it with. He got all the plans up. But God said, no, I've been living in a tent, if you like, all this time. But you're not going to. I'm sorry, you've been a warrior. You've been the warrior king. But I will let your son Solomon, who will reign in your stead, he will build the temple. He also organized the worship for the priests and the Levites. He restored the worship of God in Israel. What about his spiritual qualities? The positive ones. He depended on the Lord. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He trusted in the Lord. Psalm 25, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you, I trust. He praised God. Psalm 9 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. He was concerned for God's house. We thought about that. He honored and respected authority. We've talked about that. He was faithful to his promises to the family of Saul. And he said, find out if there's anyone left of the family of Saul that I may bless them. And he found this young man, Mephibosheth, lame on both his feet. Bring that young lad. And he brought that man into his house and he ate with him and gave him accommodation. He honored his promises. But alas, he had his failures. And we know them, don't we? When he should have been at war with his men, he was in his palace, and he looked over the wall, and he saw this beautiful girl called Bathsheba. You know the story. Married woman, he committed adultery. And then, without going into the whole story, you know, he then arranged the murder of the husband so he could take Bathsheba to be his wife. He thought he'd hidden it all up and nobody knew. But Nathan the prophet came and told a little story about a man with just one sheep, and they were going to take that one sheep away from him. And he said, who did that? That man will answer to me. And Nathan said, you are the man. And then he realized he was referring to taking Bathsheba. And he was full of repentance. And I have used David's psalm myself when I have sinned. A little bit of that psalm. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak, justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, and from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inward parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And God heard his prayer of repentance. Time has gone. Just in closing, we've seen just the positives and the negatives of David. God looked at his heart, and we said, it says God said he was a man after his own heart. In the New Testament, David is spoken of right the way through. Jesus is David's son in Matthew. Jesus is the root of David in Revelation. Jesus sat on David's throne in Luke, we read.
David confessed Jesus to be Lord in Matthew 22.
Jesus referred to him and reminded that he wasn't legalistic, that on the Sabbath he would go into the temple, into the synagogue, and he would take the show and take it and give it to his men to eat. He wasn't legalistic. Jesus referred to him in that sense. He prophesied the death of Jesus in Psalm 22. Just a little bit of that. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me and from the word of my groaning? All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. I count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Prophetic word by David, some 1,000 years before Christ. And so we see shepherd boy, musician, psalmist, king, never been to uni, never had an education, but yet a wise man who put his trust and faith in the God Jehovah. Man after God's own heart, he gave all the credit to God. He says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. And I hope you can say amen. That is true for us too.